ministry, I can't imagine not having one. I can't imagine being because who said it tonight? Was it maybe Pastor Schaller mentioned like our this is what a great purpose this is. This gives us what am I doing? Like, what am I doing? It's very down to earth, right? The missions is, it's like, and somebody said it this week, get dirty. Somebody said it this week.
Get your hands dirty. Yeah.
Get your hands dirty. I don't remember who said it, but maybe Pastor James. Yeah. Yeah, I was just very edified tonight. Very edified. I believe there was a great anointing. Did you sense that maybe that there were people here who I was looking around at faces and watching them like as Pastor, what a tender message Pastor Mati gave, right? What a tender, like, What's something that you remember from Pastor Mati's message, like a sentence?
God fills the temple.
Oh, God, yeah, Exodus 20, right?
40,
yeah. And God fills the temple. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Moses
couldn't enter
20, right? Yeah, God, he couldn't.
He couldn't enter in.
He couldn't go in.
Yes, but the glory of God was there.
My flesh, cannot. When I'm filled with the Spirit, right? When I'm filled with the Spirit, my flesh is not in the picture. The flesh can't come in when I'm filled with the Spirit. And a spirit-filled, a spiritual man or woman walking in the Spirit, will be thinking about mission. How important is it that we, 'cause another thing that was said tonight was about being trained. Oh, Pastor Schaller said, you send somebody out. Send them out for a month. Wasn't that a? I was excited about that word there. He said, "Send somebody out for a month to do like preaching every night for a month, and then they'll come back and they'll say, 'I need trained.'" I mean, don't send the guy out that has no training, probably. But that was a good. That was a really. I was very excited about that. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I several people have been now asking lately about our history in missions, or how even one young guy here in the conference yesterday, how do you become a missionary? And like Pastor Schaller mentioned, like, and Pastor Stan was referring to that, like, send someone for a short time. And I mean, it really is like Pastor Roger said in this afternoon in the pioneering missions session, that it's like crossing a line, that you take a step. And I've been really blessed by that lately, shared in a couple of places, that when Jesus also, he would say to his disciples, "Let us rise, let us move on," like that you need to take a step, you need to take an initiative. You can be still sitting at home and waiting, well, is God gonna take me somewhere? No, he won't, unless you take a step, unless you cross the line. And it starts with maybe just short weekend trips, like when we were young and we were in Bible school in Helsinki. Pastor Matti would encourage us to go to Soviet Union, and Pastor Schaller as well, but Pastor Matti was like the dynamo in it. And he found out who had been studying Russian in high school, and I was one of them. And he was like getting excited, why don't we go and go, and we just go and meet people there and share the gospel. And we went secretly on weekend trips and couldn't even talk about it openly in our own church because Finland was kind of monitored by the Russian authorities in many ways. But even if it was a so-called democratic country, Western country. And but then from that, like the next step would be that, like, okay, we go on a, like we take a tent and we go to Russia for 2-3 weeks in the summer and then went for a couple of months to a summer team in Oslo, Norway. And then the next thing was to move to Kuopio, another city, with the first domestic missions team in Finland. And then hearing about our team in Austria, going there for 2 years, living there and seeing like many East European refugees come to our house, actually, and we ended up having like a big Bible study with Poles and Czechs and whatnot in those days when they were fleeing their countries as it was crumbling down, the system in those countries. And then after a few years, when we went back to Finland, to Kuopio, then God so clearly called us to go to Malmö, Sweden. And then we just left everything behind us and took our kids and sold the house and or couldn't sell it, actually. It was a financial catastrophe. But like we knew that God is behind this and that if he calls us, he is responsible. And so we spent more like 13, 15 years in Sweden. And then in the same manner, God spoke very clearly in this like certain crossroads of my life, like the go back to Helsinki and like, it was for us, Helsinki, in a way, well, it's like Egypt, even if we had gotten to know the church there. But after 22 years in pioneering missions, we came back there. And it wasn't even easy to adjust in a bigger church because, like, there was not this intimacy that you had in pioneering churches. And but we just sensed that for some reason God has here for some time. And then when I became the pastor in Helsinki, 2017, I started thinking about, like, a missionary target, like an area where we could go from there and where we could encourage people to come over on these like weekend trips and that they would have a chance to test and try like that what it is to be on a mission trip. And we started going to Riga, Latvia, and I counted that 65 people from our Finnish churches have come on through these past years on missionary trips there, and I find it's really beautiful. And that it's like it's kind of a training field. So it's a possibility to taste, and we always when we go there, well, it's like every time, even this past time, like a couple of weeks ago, before you go, you're like, oh, what's going to happen again? And like, are we really prepared? And is anybody going to come? And but once we go there, we are always surprised by God because He honors those steps of faith. They cross the line. We buy the ticket. We go there. We rent a room and we have so many beautiful friends there. And now it's not a problem to find a place where to meet. And I counted, like last time we had Bible sessions, like Pastor Saulius from Lithuania was the other teacher and I was the other one. And we had like 15 Latvians come to these different sessions just to hear and to be with us. And they are just so yearning to hear it. And it's so encouraging. It's just so rewarding. And anybody can be a part of that. And Pastor Roger is sitting there, and he has been instrumental in our ministry and outreach in Latvia. He's been there several times, and I'm so happy for that. But of course, now he's in the States, and it's not so easy to come. But that's also my vision for Latvia, that like, it's not just us from Finland, but like that we from different European or American churches could come, and maybe we'll have an international team. Pastor Maciek from Warsaw is coming in next month in April when we go there for a weekend trip. And we just decided that the theme is going to be Jesus in the Old Testament. And then Pastor Michael Toll is going to be there in our summer Bible school in June. And the theme is not less than the kingdom of God. And it's like a several days of Bible teaching and evangelism. And it's so exciting. And we really want to like you all to come and to be part of it. And we want those people there in Latvia to see that what our ministry is about, that it's like an international, worldwide thing, and that we really are all just one family. Yeah.
That's a great vision. And I believe that what you feed in your life will grow. We have visions for many things. We have visions for things that matter only to us. You have visions that matter to your family, visions that matter to your career. But when you get a vision from God, it compares to nothing else. And at first you don't know how to feed it. You just realize that God is, and it starts like this. It starts with a burden. God puts something in your heart. It's like a burden. And you're really like, why am I so moved about that country or that area or that city? Why am I so moved about, why am I so moved? And then I can't get rid of it. And then someone else mentions it and you say, somebody else just mentioned it to me. And all of a sudden, it goes from a burden and you start wondering, okay, do I have a vision from God for this? And on a night like tonight, with an anointing as heavy as it was today, this was a monumental evening. God speaks to people. 1 Kings 19:12, in a still small voice, God just starts tapping. He doesn't bang. It's like a tap. The guy who led Billy Graham to Christ, what's his name? I'm forgetting his name. He said that when God spoke to him, it was this little noise that he could not get out of his ears. He just kept hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. And every time the Bible was preached, he would hear that little noise and God was like, it's you, it's you, it's you, it's you, it's you. And maybe tonight, God is saying it's you. And you've got your list of things of why it's not. I've got a wife, I've got a husband, I've got kids, I've got a job, I've got a career, I've got all education. I have all these reasons why. And what's interesting is God just talks right past your reason. You keep talking and God just keeps saying, it's you. It's you. There's no other hero walking through that door. It's you. It's you. And then the first question you have is, you're like Mary in Luke 1. How? First it's why, because you don't think you're qualified. And then it's how, because your reasoning starts kicking in. Your brain starts kicking in. Like, how is this going to be possible? Right? And what's funny is God doesn't answer the how. He doesn't like give you some IKEA layout. Okay, this is how it's going to happen. He just says, it's you, right? I'm calling you. And maybe I can ask the panel this. Okay, let's say God spoke to me and I heard that it's you. It's here. It's connecting with me. I can't shake it. Maybe I stuck around in the wrap because I can't even move out of my seat. There's some folks that haven't moved since the service ended. God is clearly trying to say something. So my question to the panel is, next steps. I'll start with Pastor Roger. Next steps, because all of us have been in that spot and we're like, okay, in our mind we want to do, but next steps.
I would say we all saw flags tonight. And with those flags were faces. And with those flags and faces were names. And now God is asking us to go to those names and those faces and those flags. This conference is so unique. It's so multidimensional because of the Holy Spirit working in every country. And we have this amazing invitation to ask God lead us, and then to be honest as he leads us. And then we, like tonight, we say, here am I, you know, so. The question then is can I say that to maybe the person in your local church, your friend that you're maybe going home with tonight? Maybe you're staying in an Airbnb and it's like, I just want to pray. Can you just pray with me? Can we stay up and read the Bible together? Maybe can let's do this again. You know, like, let's do this again. And I think those subtle but intentional moments where we get serious with God, I felt it in my heart tonight that God was saying, like, be more serious with me. I, I, I'm very serious. I am so in, my love is so intense for the world. Please be serious with me. And so we sense that tonight. And now it is, as that love has touched us, like, I think, you know, it is, we shall take that step. And for me, I like to write notes and questions in my notebook, and I go back to them, and I hold on to them as really personal words from God. And I begin to think about them. And I know that when I leave this place, that has been written in my heart. We believe that God writes these things in our heart. So treasure that. And then know that, you know, there is a provision as we have been called. Like, it could be the most simplest call in our mission. It doesn't have to be so Saudi Arabia. Pastor Monty said it can be hard or easy. So I cannot, it's amazing to me that 1,000 of us heard this tonight and what will happen now. So here we go.
Okay, if you heard from God, then don't question it. I mean, Balaam said, "Let me ask again," and he got confused. And like, I know a person who told me they were going to do Bible college, and they said at one point they said they knew that I'm sure that God called me to Bible college, and I saw them a year later, and I said, "Hey, you're not in Baltimore." They were in another place in the United States, and they said, "Yeah, I know God called me, and I'm going to go." I saw them the next year, and I said, "Hey, you're not in Baltimore." And they said, like, "Yeah, I'm going to go back and check to see if what God, you know, if he still wants me to go." And they never went. Like, okay, you don't have to go. But if you hear from God, then Pastor Schaller mentioned this just recently in a devotional. He was reading from Oswald Chambers, I believe it was from My Utmost for His Highest, May the 10th, if I'm not mistaken. And the title of it was Take the Initiative. And he talked about this very thing. Like, you hear from, Chambers says in there, okay, if you hear from God, then don't go into the, and you got to be careful who you talk to. Who do you, when you have something like this, okay, sure, you talk to somebody about it, right? But who do you talk to, right? Like 1 Samuel 14, Jonathan is going to go out of his hiding place, but it says he doesn't tell Saul. He didn't tell Dad because he knows that Saul is not a faith man. Right. So when you're talking about a call, a missions call, you can't talk about that with somebody who's not walking by faith, because they'll only tell you why it won't work. And you can very easily get convinced it won't work, and then you don't do it. And you don't have to. Like, you're not, you know, there's no obligation on you. God has given you freedom, but this is the way, I mean, this is the way to have a really purposeful and satisfying life is to walk and actually say, okay, God, yes. Like, who will go? And you say, I mean, maybe at the beginning you say, like, could it be me? But then, and you talk to the right people. So there are next steps. There are obviously there, you have to talk to somebody. But who do you do that with?
Yeah, I was just being so blessed by this verse in Acts 20:26-19, and of course it's Paul is talking about the vision that he got when Jesus appeared to him, but I think it can be applied to us when he says that, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." And our Finnish translation says that I couldn't but obey that heavenly vision. And I just love that wording and that thinking that when God calls us, I mean, we don't really have a choice. I mean, yes, we do in a sense. But like if we really sense that this call is from God, I mean, then we don't have a choice. I mean, because we want to honor him and we want to follow him. And it's really amazing. Like I was just thinking tonight as we had that little Latvian flag and I was walking down the aisle here and I was thinking that it's like I could, in a way, try to resist or explain away that, okay, I'm old enough to just let it be and like don't just keep going there, what are you doing, and it's funny, but it's something that you just can't, it's like something that is so built in you, like that you sense that God is opening a door on you, you just want to go through that door, you want to see what it leads to, and we will see where it leads. And like we're talking with the Robinses today, we had lunch with them and Pastor Ismael and Hanle, and like they were saying that in our church we never like settle, like you need to be there so long, but there's such liberty in our missions. I mean, you can go to the mission field, no one is saying that no, don't come back yet, but you can be there until you sense that God is calling you back or calling you to some other place. And like for us, like nobody ever came to us and said you need to go or like why don't you go, but when Pastor Shallow was living in Finland, we were just all so excited about the Bible, about missions and about people in the whole world. So that was like you couldn't but get excited about it. But then where you went, but it was always the personal call from God. No one came to us that, why don't you go there? But like God really spoke to us. And then he gave the grace to go. When he's not calling you, maybe thinking that, well, how could I ever go? No, you don't need to think about it. If God calls you, he will give you the grace and the courage to take the step. And don't worry about it. Like you can't be disobedient to the heavenly call of God.
Just thinking about tonight, two words come to mind. In my life, it could be inspirational. I think it's that for all of us. But it could also make me intentional. And if it's just inspirational, nice message, nice flags, I feel good inside, I went to a good thing. Good things happen tonight. But in order for it to be intentional, good things have to happen here. And maybe I don't have all the details. I don't have all the... I'm not even sure about where. You might be at a place where you don't know where. Abraham didn't know where. He went going and not knowing. Meaning this, my next step might not give me the where. And that's why what Pastor Stan was talking about is so crucial. And also Pastor Robbins. I got to talk to people that think the way I do. Right? He who seeks to be wise puts himself with wise men. But a companion of fools is soon destroyed. Proverbs 13 verse 20. I got to talk to the right people. I got to get the right counsel. You're not going to talk to a plumber and get counsel about how to be a carpenter. And that's why it's so important. Not just spiritual authority, but people that are doing or have done or thinking about it like me. So that our faith begins to stir each other up. People that can stir up your faith. The resources, the details, those are later questions. But don't put them in the front. Don't put those in the front. It'll limit your thinking. It'll narrow your thinking. And if all you can do is what you can do, then you will never do anything for God.
It would just be what you do, right? It's got to go from impossible to impossible. It's got to shift. It's got to be about God. In Acts 26:19, in verse 20 and 21, Paul talks about his testimony. But then he says in verse 22, he says, having received help from God, I continue to this very day. Paul said, I wasn't disobedient to the vision because I got help. I got help from God. And the help from God was not, and I like what he says in those two verses. He doesn't say God gave him a provision for money or for housing or for team. The provision he was talking about was personal. God gave me the faith. God gave me the desire. God said, yes, it is God both to will and to do to his good pleasure. If that's his call and that's his vision for my life, then he will give me the strength and he will give me, even if it's a little bit of strength, he'll give me the will and the do, and you'll be surprised how doors fly open. Right? But there's something in our culture that's in the world now that we avoid hard things. We avoid hard things. As soon as something's hard, we stop. As if life is not supposed to be hard. Everything from childbirth to anything, we want to make it as easy as possible. And why stop because something's hard? Why does hard have to be a no from God? Hard is not no from God. Hard is not no in life. Life is hard. So when I see hard, it's just life. Is missions hard? Yeah, it is. But is God greater than my heart? He is, right? He is. Coming down, questions and comments. This is a great time to ask these men questions about missions, practical missions. How did you hear from God? How did it work out for you? How did you manage that with your wife or your children? This is the time to ask those questions. And I have a different question if no one's coming up. How do you go again? This is a missions church. A lot of us have been out once. How do you go back? Because, you know, you can do that whole seasonal thing. Man, that was a good season, huh? We had a great time. It was a good run. You had a good run. Yeah, it was so good. Remember those days, you know, you think back to the former days. Man, it was so amazing. But here's the problem. Pastor Risto said it. There's something still burning in your heart. And you come back and you're still like, can I go again? Really? Can I go again? I don't know. I'm older now. Car, house. My trick knee, my knee's not so good anymore. My knee's tricky. I got a big toe that swells now when it gets cold. And I don't know. Can I go again? Can I go again? I had a missionary once ask me that before. Can I go back? Is it wrong to go? Why would it be wrong to go back? Can I go? Can we really do this? Can we really do this? Can I go again? Right? Can I go again? That's my question for the panel. I'll start with you, Pastor Risto.
Can I go again?
Yes.
I think we all can go again, and then again, like you don't need to make a commitment for 10 years or whatever, but you can go, you can give it a shot, and mm-hmm. and of course, like when we go, we know that we don't run back when the first difficulty comes.
Yeah.
But like we're also open to it that God may lead us there out for a season. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's also like we need to encourage others to join us. And that's like if we don't go even for a season, like when others will not come. I don't know how many places Pastor Scheller has said that I will go there and people move there and then they have to move like he doesn't go there. And it's nothing wrong with that. But he has gotten people excited, and that's how actually like the church in Malmö got started. Like he was excited about moving there and people from Stockholm moved. And but by the time we moved there, we knew that he's not going to be there. But it was just like God pounding it on our hearts. I don't think there's any like limits or boundaries. That of course, like we want to encourage people to have a Bible school training, mm-hmm. but on the other hand, like I understand. I mean, yes, for a long term mission, like joining a team, But like getting to know some of these young people in Latvia, for example, they, of course, we don't have a church there. Like some go there, some go there, some have a more like established in a church, some not so established. But these young people are just, they have such a desire to serve God. And like some of them are already like without any big training, they are like, for example, working for a Christian radio or helping with a Christian student organization. And I was thinking that, hey, is that wrong? I don't think so. I mean, they have a desire. They have found ways to even minister in their own country. And they are thinking in the back of their mind, some of them, I want to go to a Bible school. And that's like our dream, of course, and the prayer is that somebody out of those people would end up in Baltimore or somewhere where they see other international students with a vision for missions. But there's a lot happening in Europe among young people, and we see it in our church in Helsinki, and we see it in many other places too. Patricia Cartier, who is sitting here, she said that in the Christian bookstore where she works once a week, or how is it? Like that this past year, like French young people come out there to buy Bibles. And it's like, it's something new. And I don't even remember, I talked with somebody else too, like, no, in Romania, yeah. I think somebody said that, like, people are really open. Yeah, Pastor Julian Timofte, that people are open, like, to receive that. Romania is an open country now. And maybe for a time like this, because we see, like, the excited Bible school students in Baltimore, like, really missionary-minded. We maybe saw like a little valley that not so many went out. But maybe this is the time. This is the time that like people are open. We need those missionaries in many countries. And we can all go together. And we really believe in teams. Why don't we go? Some of us for a longer time, some of us for a shorter time. But let's build teams. Let's go. Enjoy it. And when we went to Austria in 83, and Pastor Turkia, Pastor Ben was the pastor there, and they came to Finland with Ramona one summer. I mean, they were just visiting, and they were just saying that it would be great to have, like, if people even to come to study or work or something, but just to have that fullness of the body, like when you have a little bigger team. And that was what kind of stuck in the back of my mind, and we started thinking about it. And I was actually there as a student, and we were like part-time teamers in that sense, but we had an amazing time with the pioneering church there, and also I already lost the thought, but it's like that's amazing to think about it. We can go together, and not everybody needs to be there even like full time. Like I was thinking of Riga, like good universities, all kinds of programs in English. People want to have an education. Why don't you come there and you can be part of the missions team? And study at the same time, and you get to meet students. It's like a natural way of reaching out. I mean, there's so many opportunities that we don't even think about. That I mean, you could be like a part-time missionary. I've always been a part-time missionary, and it's like but it doesn't hinder us from being used by God where we are. Yeah.
I like that title, part-time missionary.
There's a big difference between Holy Spirit leading and carnal manipulation. Right? Okay. Don't fall. Your family can use carnal manipulation. Even a church leader can use carnal, I need you. Mm-hmm. You can't go. Like, I need you. Like, Pastor Stevens used to, long before I ever, you know, thought of, that I would ever be a pastor, I would sit in the audience and I would sort of smile as he was like blasting the pastors over on the side, you know? And he'd like tell these guys, you know, like, you know, don't try to keep your people. Like you have to, I mean, there's wisdom obviously, but Holy, there's a, you know the difference because you have the Holy Spirit. So you can discern the difference between Holy Spirit leading and a carnal manipulation. And you just, like, there's the carnal manipulator has a whole lot of reasons to why you have to do this or why you can't do that. But that's why we need the body. The body helps with this, right? It's my okay. The church leadership and understanding that. And having the idea, okay, I don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious of the missions office, right? Don't think that the missions office is out to rain on your parade. They're not. Don't you can't have that idea. You have to have the idea. If I thought that the leadership of my church was carnal, then I should find another church. Right, but if I don't believe that, I say no. These guys are hearing from God. We're all imperfect. We're all hearing imperfectly, but I believe that these guys actually are. They're walking as best they can in the light with the Holy Spirit too. So, God is not a God of confusion. Right, and He will lead you.
I mean, just to continue this question by answering it this way. Pastor Schaller said in John chapter 4 that he mentioned the words of Jesus that my food, and I wrote and thought that it's my mission. Like if Jesus had said mission, maybe we wouldn't understand as much. But he said, my food. And I think the way I and we can become missionaries again, even next week, as early as Monday morning when we hit the ground, is this food is what's going to give me life. And this food is my life. And missions, let's admit it, I want it to be my life. I mean, if it is truly the greatest secret in all the world, missions is the greatest secret in all the world, I don't think, for me personally, nothing has changed my life like missions has. I think it was Pastor Sturge's sister, Jenny, she's like, excuse me, but I'm going to use a word that's not in context, but it's okay. This is like a high. I was like, exactly. Missions, has anything ever healed you quite like missions? Has anything ever shown you the deepest mysteries of God like missions has? Like, has anything like really ever... like given you such a glimpse at miracles? Like, I love miracles. People, like, don't we love miracles, seeing people be translated? That's what I would say, like, draws us back. And when you go and you taste it, it becomes our food. And it becomes like the will of my life. God, your will be done. I want to be a part of your mission. And so missions is like a life-changing thing. So if it starts small, can it start for my whole life? Can it be a part of my whole life? And so for me, I just have examined other people. And I've like looked under the hood. And I was like, walked alongside. And I was like, these guys are really rich in love. In qualities I can't buy. And they're living the life of 100 other people. I want that. God, what do you have? Where could you lead me? And so that mission then becomes in our heart and becomes food. And I really love that Pastor Schaller brought that up, that Jesus said that his food, which is his mission, was to do the will of God. And we find mystery and healing and miracles. So I'm going with Pastor Stan this summer. I've never been to South America. And actually, Pastor Ronaldo pulled me into the missions office. And I was a little intimidated as I walked by Perio. I'm like, what are they going to do to me? Am I in trouble? Because I have a complex because I've gotten in trouble a lot in my life. But I wasn't in trouble. I was being encouraged. And they said, what do you think about going to Bolivia? Bolivia, South America. And I said, and to go with Pastor Stan, I was like, are you kidding me? Yes. I mean, I didn't say yes right away, but in my heart, there was yeses. The red light was flashing, but I had to talk to Lizzie and the Lord. Lizzie, Lord, Lord, Lizzie. One of the two L's, how it went. Lizzie first. But, like, it would be sad. I thought to myself, it would be sad if I don't spend time with Pastor Stan. Like, what, that would... I want to be with him. I want to learn from him. I want to walk where he walks. I want to see his wife, Karen, how she talks to people and talks to ladies and is a mother and a leader in her own right. Like you, how? I want to see this mission. And so to me, I remember going home immediately Googling Bolivia with Lizzie. As soon as we got home that first night, I said, Liz, Pastor Ronaldo, asked me, like, let's Google it. And then we just started praying about it and then looking up facts. And we were like, there's people and there's mountains. And so for us to have this opportunity to be with anyone, I think is such a privilege. And it draws us back again.
Yeah. Think about Summer Harvest. Go back 2 weeks ago. If you go back on the website, ggwo.org, we had a kickoff in Baltimore for Summer Harvest. Why do I have a kickoff in February for Summer Harvest? Because you can't plan Summer Harvest in the summer. You plan it in February. You say, well, I've got a job, I got a family. Okay, well, you plan it in, right? You know, the things in your life that matter, you include in your plans, right? So it's like... Where is, maybe I don't know where to go. Maybe I'm just getting started. Maybe I'm like, want to go back out. I don't know where to go. I don't have a place. It's in my heart to go. I have a going heart. And I think you have to always feed a going heart. I want to always be going across the street, around the world. I want to always be going. You're here because you have a going heart. You jumped on a plane, you jumped on a bus, you jumped in a car and you came. You have a going heart. You came to missions tonight because you have a hearing heart. A hearing heart and a going heart. And maybe you just email, write, or call into us and say, where is the church going? Because when you want to know where God is going, the first place you check is your church. Where is my church going? What is God saying to my church? What is God saying to the leaders of my church? What is God saying to the people that are already going? And maybe I can go with them. Right? Where are we going? Where is Greater Grace going? Where is God's heart? Where are we going? What country? Where are we going? And then you say, okay, I don't know if I'm called there, but I can go there. I can go there. I can just go. I can actually talk to someone and share my faith that's not from my community, not from my world. I can talk to someone. I can share my... Maybe I don't know all the verses. I can give my testimony to somebody because it might just change their life. I can love somebody. The way you love people shapes their life. The way you love people. I don't just want to love people in my circle. I don't just want to love people in my little world. But I want to go somewhere where my name is not mentioned and love a stranger, love someone with God's love and give them the gospel. I want to watch someone. I want to see missions up close. I mean, I hear the stories from Pastor Chevelli and Pastor Schaller. I want to write my own story. I want to be in my own story. I went to Latvia. I went to Bolivia.
I went to the Midwest. I went to Venezuela. I went to Laos. I went to Panama. I went for a week, and it was so fast. It was so amazing. The people just kind of drew it out of you. When you go with God, He will lead hungry people to you. Amen. You won't have to hunt for them. He'll bring them to you inadvertently. He'll just keep putting people in front of you. And at first, you don't know what to say. And when you don't know what to say, you can just love people. You can silently pray for people. You can get with someone who knows what to say and listen to what they say. Isn't that how you learned in church? You raised your hand because you saw somebody else raise their hand. You prayed because somebody else prayed. You sang worship songs. And when you were really little, you put it in the plate because somebody else put it in the plate. One of the greatest tools of learning in the church is observation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, our life with God speaks. You can live your life out loud with God, and you don't have to be preachy, but I can go. I can have a going heart. And we can help you. Your local church can help you. Your pastor can help you. Because we don't just want you to go. We want you to go with us. We want to go together. Why would we go and not take you with us? And maybe we can help you figure out the details. The little small details. Let us help you. The missions office is not there to collect money. The missions office is there to serve our missionaries. That's why it's there. We do the best. Perio does. The best of us just try. But she is the heart of the missions office.
Everything.
Well, she's amazing. And Ola Larson is ridiculously amazing. Ridiculously amazing. The things that she gets done, I wonder if she has three arms instead of two. She's incredible.
She's from Sweden.
So she's Swedish, so there you go. Shout out to Ola Larson.
Amen.
I'm telling you. Telling you right now. Make your checks payable too, Ola Larson.
She's from Malmö, Sweden.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Anybody questions, comments about missions? Maybe God has put, you have a question about it, the difficulty. There's no question. Yeah, there we go. A Finn has a question. So you have to answer this question.
Oh, Finn to Finn.
All right. Like, as you said, this is an anointed night and God spoke. So maybe somebody got tapped on their shoulder about missions and it's kind of sparked a fire. First, how do you keep the fire burning? And second, how to prepare your life for having an expectation and like in a mindset of going, like how does the prepared life look like?
That's an excellent, excellent question. And I mean, I think there's many, many ways. I mean, like we already heard many things that pertain to that, like that you speak to someone that knows about it, someone that is like on the same wavelength, that loves missions. Also, like Pastor Roger was saying that, like, he was asked if he would go to Bolivia. I mean, just find out something about the country, about the place, like, and just start dreaming. I think that it's so important to, I'm not very good at it, but I've been hearing, like, many people, like envisioning things, like in what it could be like. I can just imagine myself, like, in the streets of that place or in the woods, wherever God is calling. And just finding out about it, praying about it, but really like finding maybe somebody to share it with, but really like somebody with a missionary mind. And then you can, and you have fellowship about it. And you start thinking about the first steps, maybe a short trip, maybe not even to the place, but like we heard many years ago, Pastor Scheller would say that if you feel that you want to go to the mission field, you don't really know where, go where the fields are white. Join a team somewhere where there's like a fruitful mission field, and you can learn it. You can take the first steps. You can learn as you're doing it. And then maybe later God will give you like a more definite, like a more defined, like a call or answer to your desire to be on the mission field. I'm sure that it has happened with many like that, but you start right away planning. When can I go? Like start dreaming about it, start reading and like I remember doing the Bible school whatever, written thesis. It was rather modest in those days, but I did it on like the Christians in Russia, like from the time of the Tsars to the time after revolution, of how it affected like the life of the Christians. And we had been doing this weekend trips to Russia, and we're praying with the map of Russia. We got secreted together, either in our house or at Hanele and the girls' dorm or someplace, and Pastor Matti was leading that. And we would like have the map of Soviet Union. We're just like praying that one day we could go there. One day we would have churches there. And we're almost like laughing at the idea that churches in Soviet Union. But sure enough, like then the world came down. But like finding people that you can share the vision with and planning to go and going even for a short time, or then go if you don't exactly where, like on the in a good missions team on a wide field, and learn as you do it, and then maybe God can speak to you in a more like personal way about where and how. Yeah.
When Karen and I, well, I wasn't thinking about missions at all, not even a little bit. But I was the youth pastor in one of our affiliated churches, and I was asked to consider taking some teenagers down to visit Pastor Hadley in Ecuador. And I did that. But I wasn't thinking at all about that I would ever move there. But I did that, and I came back, and God used that, those 2 weeks there, to start the other process. So you never know. Like, you're not even looking for it at all. Like, and even, by the way, even if you really don't even want to, because I actually, somebody down there when I was in Ecuador, somebody at one of the team members asked me, "So hey, you could get your wife and come back here," and I'm like, "That's never going to happen." That's what I said. I mean, I'm going like, "No, I'm I know where we are. I know. I mean, I was sure. Like, I know. Like, we'll never do that." And literally, like a week later, like Karen and I are sitting in the middle at 3 a.m. in our bedroom. We're sitting up in bed like little children, like Christmas time, talking about missions. And it was totally unexpected.
Before you get a mic, how many years have you been there?
Well, that was 1989, so.
Wow. 35 years. Wow. How? You're not going to go, right?
Go back?
We were
not going to go.
And you were there for how long?
45 years.
That worked out well.
Yeah, we really know a lot, don't we?
I mean, Pastor Risto said maps. I heard Pastor Stan say, "I love maps." I don't know about you guys, but maps inspire us all, and they cause us to pray. I think it's so important that you get the city in your heart, get the name of it, get a couple details about it, a picture. Those things make a big difference. I think the other thing that I would say that we should all recognize is that missions is a risk. So if you're like, how much of a risk is this? Well, you can do small risks. Okay. And small risks are like, you can go on outreach next week with your local church. You know, like you can go be with your pastor and walk with him as he talks to someone in the church. Maybe you can be a part of Sunday's meeting in a certain way. to serve and love it, because those are all elements of missions. It's not the actual ticket buying and the packing of your bag, but like, you know, in Baltimore, there's new people coming. You know, I don't need to go to South America. There's new people and they're coming to the church. You know, who's going to come to church next Sunday? Let's minister to them. And that's how I feel the fire gets stoked in my own life, when I meet that person who is maybe newly a new refugee that comes from another country to America for me. And I go to Towson with Pastor Ramir, and we just, you know, we hang out on the streets on Saturday, and it warms my heart. And then I go to church Sunday night, and I see Pastor James, and he tells me about Edgewood and his church, and that stirs my heart. You know, so these little things, they start to culminate and add up, you know, and like, or I hear a report from Finland, or I'm on a WhatsApp group about the Middle East. Like, I have many little avenues of things that get to my heart. You know, Anik and Pastor Dario's, their newsletter, I like newsletters. They stir my heart. They keep me going, the faces, the pictures. You know, I just got on Pastor Stan's group. Come on. You want to be on Pastor? No. But you know what I mean? Like, those little things feed me. They're my food, and that helps me in my mission.
That's good. That's a lot of help tonight, huh? Practical help about missions. Because you don't want tonight to just go away. And you have a memory of a good time. But maybe, and maybe, and that could be great. That's not bad. But maybe God has more for you for tonight than just that. Maybe God is saying to you, take a small step. And by the way, with God, there are no small steps. There's just steps. The first act of obedience is trusting God, right? Trusting God. That's what this is all about. I'm trusting God for people, for everything. Details. I practice my trusting God in the mission. That's all it is. Practice trusting God. Not just having faith, but applying it. Trusting God. Right? So as we close tonight, maybe if God has put something on your heart as we pray, think of the place, city, country, people group. Pray for that. We're going to pray from here. Pastor Stan will lead us. And just keep it in front of you. Psalm 1 verse 2, learn how to put things in front of your mind and hold it hostage. You don't have to make a conclusion about it. You don't have to decide anything. But just with your spiritual eyes, stare at it and listen to God about it. Let him feed you. Let him speak to you. We have the Holy Spirit. Let him speak, right? Be quiet before God about that place. And then hide that in your heart. Hide it in your heart. We're going to pray. And maybe God has spoke to you tonight. And maybe you don't talk to anybody but for a minute. But then you let God lead you to people that can encourage you in it. Details are details. They're literally just a detail. But when you have desire and you find the call of God, God will take you places in John 21:19 that maybe you don't even want to go. He'll do things in Ephesians 3:20 that maybe you didn't think you could do. And you'll have fruit. A fruit that remains. So we're going to pray for a few minutes with Pastor Stan leading us. And we want to be concentrated in our prayer. We don't just want to just pray for the world, but be concentrated. Maybe God has put something in your heart. If he hasn't, then ask him in the prayer to do so. It could be an existing location. It could be a place that maybe I could go and visit. It could be something far, something near. But you know that God had a word for you. You heard that little, it's you. It's you. I'm talking to you. And let's lay it before the Lord. Let's lay it before the Lord and see what God will say. Because what he will do will follow what he will say. So let's see what God will say.
Father. Father, earlier this afternoon, we heard a group of formerly unreached people singing to you, people that didn't know you, a whole group of people that didn't know you, and they know you. And what a joy that was to listen to them and look at their faces. Okay, that happened. Lord, I pray, we pray together that could happen for each one of us, that we could be part of a team. However, whatever it means to be part of a missions team, prayer, giving, going, visiting, loving, investing, preaching, teaching, preparing. Opening our mouths. And we could have a group of people in front of us someday singing to you. And we would just, we'll look at it and we'll worship you. We believe that these things are not only possible, but that these things really are your will. They are your will, Lord. You seeking and saving today in 2024. And until you come, you're going to be seeking and saving. And you called us. We're sure, Lord, you called us to be part of it. What a privilege. Our failures have not disqualified us. We're still breathing, so you have a plan for us. We're still breathing oxygen, so that means you have a plan. You're not done with us. None of us, each one of us. Lord, we pray that in our ministry together all over Europe, Asia, Africa, and all of the Americas, North and South, and in any place that I'm forgetting, all over the world, Lord, Russia, Australia, Japan, the Caribbean, the Middle East. That just as you said, just as you promised Abraham, and we believe from all the tribes, all the families, all the groups, all the peoples, that you are saving. Lord, we want to hear those songs. We want to hear those songs. What a joy. What a joy to be a missionary. Each one of us, use us. In Jesus' name, amen.